I don't know how much you got to look at the sources. I hope you at least were able to read the little introduction I put on the cover. In about 6 or 7 weeks, something, if you stop and think about it, really remarkable is about to take place. And that is, as we do every few years in Medinat Yisrael, we're going to elect those that will lead us. Sometimes it's the coming months, sometimes it's the coming years. In Israel, sometimes these things happen more frequently than you would expect. But the notion that Am Yisrael chooses its own leaders is an incredible thing. For thousands of years of Galut, we were subjected to the rule of others. And now we have Atzma'ut, we have independence, we have sovereignty, and we choose our own leaders. And that's an incredible thing. And something that's not to be taken for granted. And I say this even at a time when, frankly, I and many others in the religious Zionist community in Israel are feeling increasingly, unfortunately, alienated by our own government. Nevertheless, the fact that we have our own government and that we choose our own leaders, that is something that we cannot take for granted. And at the same time, the question is, to what extent this is really the vision of what we see things ought to be. Clearly, the notion that we have our own leaders, and that we have independence, and that we're not ruled by Goyim, we're not subjected to Galut any longer, that's certainly what we're striving for, and certainly with what we mean when we speak of Reshit Smichat Gulatim. But is this the way it's supposed to be? Is it supposed to be a democracy? Are we supposed to be choosing our leaders? Are our leaders supposed to have to run for office and that sort of thing? Or perhaps something else? And here we have what sometimes seems to be a clash. On the one hand, we speak of, when you read the Torah, at least on a simple level, we'll see when we go through the sources that it's not quite that simple, but at least on a simple level, when you read the Torah, it appears that we're ruled by a melech, and that the people don't necessarily have that much say. On the other hand, growing up in the Western world, you know, we've been taught that democracy is like the absolute the best form of government, almost a natural human right. You listen to George Bush speak, democracy is a human right. All nations of the world have a right to democracy. Winston Churchill, however, once noted the weaknesses of democracy. Democratic societies are often torn, they often lack direction. But in spite of that, he was in favor of it. Churchill once said that democracy is the worst of all forms of government, except for all the other ones. By which he meant, I assume, that it's the least of all evils. The question is, how does the Torah see our political leadership? What sort of people should be ruling Am Yisrael, and how should they be chosen? What sort of powers should they have? So that's what we're going to spend a few minutes looking at, and then I'll take at the end, perhaps just a few general comments about the upcoming election. Not political comments, but just about the notion in general that we have such a thing. So if you look at source number one on the sheets that I gave you, again, it seems pretty clear that the Torah expects us to have a melech. Ki tavo el haaretz, asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach v'yishtav yashavta ba, v'amarta asim alai melech kechol hagoyim asher svirotai. How do you read that pasuk? Ki tavo el haaretz, when you come into the land, v'yishtav yashavta ba, when you inherit the land, when you settle there. How do we read the next part? V'amarta asim alai melech kechol hagoyim asher svirotai. Anyone want to venture to translate that? In school I'd call on somebody. I guess I can't do that here. Maybe I could. But no one wants to volunteer? Ooh, Shana. There you go. Go ahead, translate it.
So the problem is that V'amarta is in past tense, but Asima is future, no? Unless it's...
V'amarta is future tense.
Oh, so that's the thing you will say when you get there, put on a melech.
Ah, so you read it, you will say. How else could it be read? You shall say, right? Is V'amarta a command? Or is V'amarta... Right, the Torah is telling you when this happens and this happens and this happens, right? Ki tavo al haaretz, when you come into the land, v'yishtav yashavta ba, then v'amarta asim alai melech. Is that part of the conditions? When you say asim alai melech, or is the Torah commanding us? You shall say asim alai melech. In either case, the Torah seems to then go ahead and give us a commitment. Som tasim alecha melech asher yivchar Hashem lokecha bo. Place the melech upon yourselves. And then the Torah goes ahead and gives us rules about how this melech is to operate. Very, very amazing rules, by the way. Lo yad ve lo susim. You shouldn't have too many horses, which in today's world would be like saying you shouldn't have too many soldiers or too many tanks. Lo yad ve lo nashim. Kesef izahav lo yad ve lo meod. Vayakish yivtoh kisei mamlachto v'chatav lo et mishne ha-Torah hazot ha-sefer m'lifnei ha-kohanim v'alaviyim v'aytayim ovo kara bo kol yimei chayav l'man yomad v'yirat Hashem l'kav revilti rum l'vavo me'achav. Unbelievable. A melech who is dedicated to the people, doesn't live in too much opulence, doesn't have too much wealth, doesn't have too much power. And he writes a Sefer Torah. Think of the symbolism of that. He carries a Sefer Torah with him. Revilti rum l'vavo me'achav. He shouldn't be arrogant. He shouldn't be haughty. A king who is humble, which is an amazing concept, but still, a king. And then we came to Sefer Shmuel. We read that the people actually attempted to put this command into practice. Right? We read that Shmuel HaNavi, when he was getting old, his children took over for him, and unfortunately, they were corrupt. V'lo halchu banav bidrachav, v'yitu acharei habatzah. So, Vayitkabtzku kol ziknei Yisrael vayavo el Shmuel haramata. Vayomru elav, they said to him, Shmuel, listen, hinei ata zakanta v'necha lo alchu b'drachecha. Ata, sim alanu melech l'shafteinu kechol agoyim. It's time for us to have a more proper system of government here. Give us a king like all the other nations have. Vayeira hadavar b'nei Shmuel kasher amru tina lanu melech l'shafteinu v'yipalel Shmuel Hashem. Shmuel was very, very disturbed. He was very, very upset. And he prayed to Hashem. And Hashem told him, listen, Shema b'kol ha'am, you have to allow them to have a king. But Hashem doesn't say because it's the right thing to do. In fact, it sounds like Hashem shares Shmuel's disappointment. Ki lo otcha ma'asu, ki oti ma'asu mimloch aleihem. They're not really upset with you, they're really upset with me. So it's really a terrible thing that they want to have a melech, but you have to listen to them, you have to give them a melech. And the question is, what exactly bothered Shmuel? After all, the people were essentially doing exactly what the Torah told them to do, right? It said, V'amarta sima lai melech. And even, when I learned this in school, I assume many of you as well, your teacher pointed, for a good reason, we'll see Rashi says it, but your teacher pointed right away, what's the thing that the people did wrong? What was so bad about asking for a king? Yes? Because they said, Kechol HaGoyim, and we all know we're not supposed to be like the Goyim, we're supposed to be Am Yisrael, we're supposed to be different. True. But there's one little problem with that. All the people were doing was, they recorded the Pasuk in Dvarim. What did the Torah say? The Torah said, ask for a king like all nations have a king. So they came along and they said, now seems like the time to put this mitzvah into practice. You've been ruling us until now, Shmuel. You did wonderful things, but unfortunately your children aren't following in your footsteps. Now is the time to fulfill the Torah's commandment. Give it, Sima lana melech l'shafteinu kechol ha-goyim. What are you getting angry at them for? They're quoting the pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. And yet, Shmuel gets upset. He turns to Hashem. Hashem says, you're right to be upset, but they're not rebelling against you. Don't take it personally. They're actually rebelling against me. Because really, I, Hashem, am the melech. So why are the people asking for a melech? But that's what they want. That's what you're going to do. And then Shmuel tries to talk them out of it. He gives them a whole scary speech about how the melech is going to, listen, it's going to be a dictatorship. You sure you want this? He says to him, look at Pasuk Yud Aleph. Zeh yeh mishpat ha-melech asher yimloch aleichem, et b'neichem yikach v'sham lo b'mer kavto v'farashav. He's going to draft your children into, your sons into his army. And v'lach rosh chavisho b'l'tzor k'tziro v'lasot klei milcham tom. He'll draft them into civilian projects for the kingdom. He's going to take your children away. He'll take your daughters away also and make them work in the palace and in all other national projects. He'll take your money. He'll put taxes on your lands. He'll take your fields and your vineyards. He'll place income taxes on you. You have to pay lots of taxes and he'll take away all your money. And it's going to come to the point that his dictatorial rule is going to be so oppressive that you're going to cry out to God, or you're going to cry out to him, and you're going to say, stop, and it's going to be too late. But yet, nevertheless, the people refuse to listen. V'ayinu gam anachnu k'chol agoyim. U'shvatanu malkeinu. V'yatza lefaneinu v'nocham et milchamotenu. Now we insist, we have to have a melech, v'niya gam anachnu k'chol agoyim. We have to be like all the other nations. And so, Hashem told Shmuel, listen to them. And Shmuel said, okay. And the Tanakh goes on to describe how Shaul was anointed as the first melech. So we have to figure out what exactly is going on here. What exactly the objection was. And what were the people supposed to say? Were they not supposed to ask for a melech? Sounds that way. Sounds like Shmuel did everything he could to talk them out of having a melech. If they're not supposed to have a melech, so first of all, we have to understand what we do with the psukim and dvarim. That sounds like it tells us that we are supposed to have a melech. But also, we have to ask, if we're not supposed to have a melech, well then what are we supposed to have instead? We're not supposed to have anarchy, right? We read earlier in Tanakh, in Sefer Shoftim, what happens when there is no melech, right? How does Sefer Shoftim end? Ba'inim lahem, ein melech b'Yisrael. Finish the pasuk. Ish hayashar ben av yasa. Right? Without government, there's anarchy. And the country descends into chaos and it leads to bloodshed. So there has to be a government. So if it's not a king, what is it? Is it democracy? Is it something else? On the other hand, if there is supposed to be a melech, as seems to be the case from the Psukim and Dvarim, and even from Hashem's directive to Shmuel, so then what was wrong with what the people said? Yes, they said Kechol Agoyim, and that sounds a little bit strange, but after all, that seems to be what the Torah is asking from them. And so what sort of a melech are we supposed to have if we're supposed to have a melech? So this is actually a machloket among the Mefarshim. We'll take a look here a little bit at some of the Rishonim, and then I want to flip to the other side and spend a little bit more time on a few one Rishon and a few Achronim. Rashi, as we mentioned earlier, says what was wrong. Vayera hadavar lefisha amru l'shaftena kechol agoyim. That's what your teacher taught you in elementary school. But the reason that Shmuel got upset is that the people asked to be kechol agoyim. But again, Rashi doesn't explain to us what's wrong here. The Ibn Ezra challenges the whole assumption of Rashi. You know what? Before I get to Rashi, the Rambam, skip down to source number 7 there for a minute. The Rambam quotes this pasuk as a mitzvah aseh. The Rambam tells us, Shalosh mitzvot nitztavu yisob ha-shad ki nisam tan la'aretz lenot lehem melech. There are three mitzvot you have to do in order, and the first of which is you have to appoint a king. So the Rambam clearly takes the psukim in Sefer Dvarim at face value and tells us that it's a mitzvah to have a king, leading to the question of what Shmuel got upset about. But not everyone agrees to the Rambam. Look at the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra challenges the entire assertion that there's a mitzvah to have a king. Som Tassim, says the Ibn Ezra, is a reshut. The Torah is not telling you you're supposed to ask for a king. Now, the Torah is reading, the Ibn Ezra is reading the Pasuk, not the way I did, but the way Shana did, earlier. Ki tavo al haaretz, when you come into the land, v'bishtav yashav teba, then, v'amarta asim alai melech, the Ibn Ezra is not reading as a command. Not you should say, I will have a king. If you do, this is part of the situation that the Torah is outlining. When you come in the land and settle the land, if you ask for a king, if you should ever get into your head that you want to be like all the other nations that have a king, and if you ask for one, so then, yes, you are allowed to have a king, as long as the king follows the rules laid out for you. He has to be a Jew, he cannot be a non-Jew, he cannot be a stranger, he can't have too many horses, and he can't have too many wives, etc. But there's no mitzvah to do so. If you want to have a king, then this is the way you have to do it. If that's the case, then in fact there is no mitzvah to have a king, and perhaps it's not even desirable. And we can understand why Shmuel got upset. And Hashem said, well, the Torah already, I already gave them in the Torah the ability to have a king, so if that's what they want, so okay, you have to let them do it. But I agree with you, Shmuel, that's not such a good thing. But that only works if you disagree with the Rambam and read the Psukim that way. The Rambam, however, who says, no, it's a mitzvah to have a king, he apparently reads the Psukim in Dvarim, not the way Shana did, but the way I did originally, that V'yamarta asim alai melech is a mitzvah, is a commandment. You are obligated to ask for a king. It's one of the things you have to do when you come into Eretz Yisrael. And it's a prerequisite to what comes afterwards. After you have a king, the king has to fight against Amalek. After Amalek is destroyed, then you can build the Beit HaMikdash. And indeed, that's what happened. After they asked for a king, Shaul fought against Amalek. Didn't wipe Amalek out entirely, but he defeated Amalek enough that David Amalek was able to come afterwards and build David and then Shlomo to build the Beit HaMikdash. So if that's the case, then asking for a king is exactly the right thing to do. And we're back to where we started from. The people asked for something that they really had every right to ask for. They were doing the right thing. And true, they said Kichol HaGoyim, but apparently that's what the Torah wants them to say. So the Ramban, I don't know if you're able to catch this if you read through the Ramban tries to put a little bit of fancy footwork here. And he tries to split the Pasuk. And say, on the one hand, it's true that you're supposed to ask for a king, like the Rambam says. The etzem fact that they asked for a king, that was not wrong. And indeed, he doesn't agree with Ibn Ezra. He doesn't say, no, it's optional. No, it's not optional. You're supposed to ask for a king. But you don't have to say, kechol goyim. That, the Ramban says, that the Torah was just kind of explaining what's going to happen in the future. But that's not what you're really supposed to do. You're not supposed to ask for a melech kechol goyim. And in fact, look at the melech that the Torah describes here. A melech that doesn't have too many horses and doesn't have too many wives and doesn't have too much money and writes the Sefer Torah and carries the Sefer Torah with him and reads the Sefer Torah every day of his life. Revilti rum levavo me'achav. That's not kechol goyim. So according to Ramban, the Torah did want you to ask for a king. But the Torah didn't want it to be the way it was. The Torah wanted you to ask for a different type of king than the type of king that the people asked for. And that's what he got upset about, Shmuel. So we have here two different ways of looking at the mitzvah of melech. Is it a mitzvah to have a melech? Is it not a mitzvah to have a melech? But I want to focus more, if you turn over to the other side of the page here, I want to look at three commentaries I have here, each one of which, amazingly, all written several hundred years ago, kind of describes in very vivid terms the modern concept of democracy and both its positives as well as its negatives. Let's start with the Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar is a contemporary of the Maharal Prague. And I have to tell you, the Kli Yakar, I've developed over the past number of years a new appreciation for. I have to admit, when I was younger, I didn't read the Kli Yakar very much. And then one day I actually read him, and he's amazing. It's just beautiful. Every single one is just a gem. He comes up with these insights into Pesukim, which on the one hand almost always have major, major ideological or philosophical concepts behind them, but they're all rooted in very close readings of the text, and he sees things that very often others miss. You know what he says? First of all, he says absolutely you have to have a melech. Here, if you look at the second paragraph, for example. Omer ani dati b'ktzara. Sharatzon ha'eloki hayashil tzedek imloch melech aleihem. The Torah does want there to be a king, and he attacks those who suggest that the Torah doesn't want there to be a king. The Torah absolutely wants you to have a king. And why? Latil moral akulam. The king's supposed to be a strong ruler. You're supposed to have a strong ruler that controls you. You need to have a king. So what's the problem? Why was Shmuel upset? Not because they said Kechol HaGoyim. He rejects that idea also. No, you're supposed to have a king, like all nations have a king, because that's the way you're going to run a proper society. You have to have a strong central government that's someone who's in charge. And it says that in the next paragraph. L'kach nemar ki tavo al haaretz, ki lachar yirusha v'yishiva yishman yishirun v'yivat, v'ish hayashar ben av yaseh kishayin melech b'Yisrael. V'yazvada yomru asridim asher Hashem korei ki eit lasot l'shol melech. V'yamarta sima alai melech. Then you're supposed to, when you see that the society is crumbling, you're supposed to ask for a melech. She yihye v'amarta sima alai melech, she yemura o alai. Like all other nations, not in the negative sense, but lasot kimetu kanim shabahem. We're supposed to learn from the proper things, the good things that the goyim do. Not all things that they do are bad, and there are some proper societies, and we're supposed to learn from them. She'inam bo'atim b'malchehem u'mekablim aleihem arut. They submit to authority, and that's what we're supposed to ask to do. V'alzeh ne'emar som tasim alecha melech ki she'la zo kehogen. That's what you're supposed to ask. So what was Shmuel upset about? And here's where the Kli Yakar looks beneath the surface and sees things that the rest of us miss. Look at this. Aval b'nei Shmuel lo dibru nechona. Ki amru, tina lanu melech. Look at the Pesukim in Shmuel for a second. What did the Torah say? The Torah said, damarta asima alai melech. Kechol agoyim esher tzivotai. In the days of Shmuel, they said, sima lanu melech l'shafteinu kechol agoyim. Everyone's focusing on the Kochol HaGoyim, says the Kli Yakar. You read right through the first part of the Pasuk, and you missed the nuance of what they did change from the Pesukim in Dvarim. The Torah said, Asima Alai Melech. But they said, Tana Lanu Melech. Lo Amru Aleinu Melech, Ela Lanu. Ki Lo Ratzu L'Kabel Marut. They didn't want a king that was going to really rule over them and have authority over them. Shiemo ra'o aleinu, ele yihi elanu. They wanted a king that they could control. Masur biadeinu, lakim malachin u'adir malachin. They wanted a government that they could control, that they could decide who to put into power, and they could decide who to vote out of power and put someone else in his place. What's the point of that? We want a king or leader who's going to do what we want. So we want the power to replace the king with somebody else. And therefore, if he wants to get reelected, he's going to have to do what we want. And that's as the Kli Yakar is bad. Ki ikar tzorech hachanufa hi b'mishpatim u'kiminhag haratzot elu shemekablim aleim ezer rav al zman yadua. They appoint a leader for a certain specified period of time. Kedei shelo yehei eimato aleihem. Ve'adarava, eimatam al harav. The king is afraid, or the leader is afraid of the people. He has to get reelected. Ve'akeinu mukhrach lachanif lehem kedei shelo yidchu. And that, basically he's describing democracy here very clearly. And that, he said, is what was wrong with what the people asked for in the days of Shmuel. They wanted a government that they could control. They wanted a government that could play to the lowest common denominator. Not a leader who's going to lead them in a certain direction, but a leader who's going to lead them by following them, by doing what they want. And that, he says, is wrong. The Torah said, Asima alai melech. And their mistake was that they said, Sima lanu melech. Amazing. Fascinating. And a clear indictment of all the principles that democracy stands on. A clear indictment that says that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to have a government that's responsive to what the people want. We're supposed to have a government that's supposed to lead us. That's supposed to tell us what's the right thing to do. Not a tyrannical dictatorship. Again, Levilti Rum Levavo Me'achav. A king who reads the Torah every day and follows its principles. But a king who rules with an iron fist when necessary and keeps us in line and leads us in the direction that we have to go, regardless of what we want. That's what the Torah is demanding of us. And that's what was lacking in the days of Shmuel. But the Kli Yakar is not a unanimous voice here. We go back a few hundred years before him to the Abarbanel. Abarbanel, who perhaps in his own life witnessed what a tyrannical king is. The Abarbanel was expelled from Spain in 1492 with the other Jews of the time. And we have here, 500 years ago, a very clear, I would almost say Jeffersonian exposition on the virtues of democracy. And he takes almost the polar opposite to what the Kli Yakar wrote a few hundred years later. He says here, I won't read the whole thing with you now, but just take a look. He says right away, it can't possibly be that you have to have a king. He goes through the whole thing about all the values that people think that kings have, what, you know, that a strong central government, and he rejects all those possibilities. And he says very explicitly here, just take a look, like two-thirds of the way down the first column on the right there. He writes, you should see where, like in the middle of the line, there's a comma, and then it says, V'lama lo yagam ken yecholtam mugbal umisudar kefi adatot v'animusin adin noten sheyachid v'rabim alacha kerabim v'sheyoter karov liot hapesha b'adam echad. Why do you have to have one person in charge? One person can become corrupt. It's better to have a committee of sorts, a parliament, if you will, that runs the country, where there's checks and balances. It's more likely that one person will become corrupt. Mishiyachtu anashim rabim. Mivastam yachad kol echad. Ki ina echad yatem minei haderech yimchu acherim biyado. Then there's checks and balances. If when you have a system of government with many people with a division of powers. So then if one person or one body strays from the norms of ethics, so then the others will keep them in line. And they should have limits, term limits. They should be limited in the amount of time that they can rule. Habitu Ruhu, he writes, Haratzot Shahanagatamo Yudei Amlachim. Fayoma Ze Ra'inu. Oh, wait, 1 second, I skipped. I'm sorry. Oh, I started too late. If you can jump back up, he points out. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. If you go back up like earlier than where we started, he writes, why can't you have them rule only for a year or for 3 years? Why can't you have a system where there's limited times of government, and then when a person's term in office is over, he's replaced by somebody else, and each government will conduct an investigation, and if they find wrongdoing in the previous governments, those people will be held to task for it, and they'll be held accountable. I think that's much better. You should have limited periods in which rule, you should have division of powers, and that way you're going to have a government that's more responsive, and it's less likely to become corrupt. So I don't see what's so great about a king, says the Abar Minel. Aye, but the Torah says to have a king. No, it doesn't, he writes. That's not what it says. He writes, here, if you go to jump over to the second paragraph, V'zehu etzem ha-mitzvah ha-mitata. Rotzel omar, I'm like halfway down the column. Som tassim alecha melech mikerev achecha. It's not that the Torah commanded them to have a king. He's reading this the way the Ibn Ezra did, but more extreme. If you do it, it has to be according to these principles, just like the Ibn Ezra said. You're allowed to ask for a king, and if you do, it has to be done in a certain way. But not only is it a reshut, which you could do it or not do it, he says the Torah has a very clear preference not to do it. He says, look at this. It's like the mitzvah of Eshet Yifatoar. Mitzvah of Eshet Yifatoar, what does Chazal tell us about it? Dibra Torah connected Yetzer Hara. You're not supposed to take an Eshet Yifatoar. Certainly not a mitzvah to do so. And it's a reshut in the sense that the Torah gives license to it, but it's not that the Torah thinks this is a valid option either. It's a terrible thing. When there's no choice, the Torah sometimes makes concessions to human weakness and allows us to do things that are really bad, but tries to regulate it. And that, he says, is what the mitzvah of a melech is. Not only is it not an ideal, it's not even a part of reshut, a valid option, like David Ezra said. It's an evil that shouldn't be done. If you insist on it, then the Torah says at least do it in the way according to the principles that the Torah lays out, according to those limitations. But the Torah has no interest in there being a melech at all. That's a radical approach. And he speaks glowingly about democracy. So, if we take the above note, yeah?
So just to clarify, he doesn't want a king, but he does want a democracy.
That's what it sounds like.
But how does he just issue a democracy? He doesn't really mention that he were in the Torah at all. I mean, if that was Torah thought, I feel like
he says democracy is logical and rational. The Torah doesn't tell us how to have a government. The Torah gives us an option if we want a king, but it doesn't really want it. It's kind of self-evident you should have a democracy. That's what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. The bigger problem with this, I mean, on the one hand, if you are excited by the idea of democracy and you want to kind of, you know, take the Western values that we live by today and, you know, put them in a Torah context, so this Abar Minel is very exciting, right? It allows us to look at a lot of stuff we learned in civics class in elementary school as kind of a Torah ideal. I discussed this a few months ago with a few of the people sitting here, and I think Adina Schwartz actually asked me, so what about the Melech HaMashiach? What does the Abar Minel really say? Does he envision in the days of the Mashiach that there's not going to be a king? So I did a little bit of research in the interim. The Abar Minel actually wrote a lot about the Mashiach. He wrote 3 books about the Mashiach. He lived at a time when he saw the whole world kind of being overturned in front of him. So I haven't been able to read through all 3 of the books. I did skim through 1 of them, though, so I haven't completed my research on this topic. But it does seem to me that he speaks very clearly about a Melech HaMashiach, which obviously seems to contradict what he wrote here. But the Melech HaMashiach, of course, is operating in a world in which the whole everything is clear. That's the whole point of the Melech HaMashiach, the way the Abarbanel presents him. A king who rules according to the will of God in a world that the will of God is clear, and there really is no interest in moving in a different direction. So perhaps the Abarbanel feels that a democracy is the appropriate form of government until the Mashiach comes, at which point it gives way. I'm not really sure. But we definitely have here a very strong statement in favor of the value of democracy. And again, we have a very, very strong machloket between the Abarbanel and the Kli Yakar, both of whom, living in pre-modern times, articulate very, very clearly modern, I say almost Jeffersonian, democratic theory, one of whom extolling the virtues of it, and the other one attacking the weaknesses of it. And finally, the Netziv. The Netziv, I think, presents a compromised viewpoint between the two, where he tells us, I won't read the whole thing inside, because I'm running very short on time here, but basically the Netziv says, in halachic terms, he doesn't use this terminology, but if we would translate the Netziv into halachic Brisker terminology, he says it's what we call a mitzvah kiyumit. Right? He compares it to shechita. It says here, v'amarta sima alay melech. When it comes to shechita, the Torah says also, v'amarta ochla basar. If you say, I want to eat meat, so then the Torah says, well, then you have to shech the animal a certain way. And shechita is what we call a mitzvah kiyumit. If I have a cow here, there's no mitzvah, there's no chiva, I'm not obligated to slaughter the cow. I'm allowed to let it live. But if I choose to eat the cow, I have to slaughter it. And if I slaughter it, according to laws of shechita, that's a mitzvah, even make a bracha on it. And he goes on to explain how you don't have to, he speaks very powerfully about how you can't force a king on people that aren't ready for it. People that aren't willing to subject themselves. Imagine if we would try in Medinat Yisrael today to institute a melech. Nobody would accept it, right? In a society that won't accept the notion of a king, you can't force them to, and they shouldn't have a king. They should have some other form of government. However, other societies need it and want it. And if the society wants it, just like when it says, V'amarta ochla basar, if you want to eat meat, then there's a mitzvah to do it in a certain way, and it is a mitzvah. So too, if you ask for a king, then there's a mitzvah to have a king. So if the Abarbanel is the Ibn Ezra minus, right? Ibn Ezra said it's an option, it's a reshut. Abarbanel said it's a reshut, but it's really, really discouraged. Maybe the Netziv is the Ibn Ezra plus. It's a reshut, but if you actually do it in that way, it's even a mitzvah. So I think we have here a keshet, we have here a range of viewpoints, which is very, very interesting. Just in 1 minute, I want to say the following. This is theoretical, right now. Because whether we think we should have whether we think democracy is an ideal, or we think democracy is bad, like the Kli Yakar says, we really wish we had a king, having a king right now in the present Metziut, I think we all understand, is not feasible, it's not possible. And at this particular moment, Zema Sheyesh. And therefore, I think we should view the upcoming Israeli elections, as I said at the outset, as something very, very significant. And perhaps I can connect this back to these little things here. I don't mean to compare the two, but in a sense, even this Zionist election, which obviously the World Zionist Organization has a lot less power than the government of Israel, but it also does represent Jewish interests around the world, and it allows, as Shir mentioned a moment ago, allows you to have a voice in controlling the resources of the Jewish people and the direction in which they're going to go. Whether this is the way it should be or not, this is the current reality. And if this is Reshit Tzmichat Geulatenu, if using these tools of getting involved in this way is going to allow Am Yisrael to choose its own leaders, then we have to choose leaders that will lead us in a certain direction. And even if our ultimate goal is for these leaders to give way to a different form of leadership, a more perfect form of leadership, the Metziut is such that it's going to have to come from within. And therefore, first and foremost, I hope that all of you, even if most people in this room, I imagine, will not have the privilege of voting in the coming elections, and I do view it as a privilege. This will be, Bezrat Hashem, I think the fourth time I've been able to vote in an Israeli election. And each time I drop that little petek in a ballot box, I feel a huge sense of privilege that I'm having a say in the direction in which Am Yisrael is going to go. And I don't have to tell you that the issues that are currently on the table are of the utmost significance. I would say that there's never been an election in Israel that's a more critical election, but as someone pointed out, last election, we said that last time, and the time before that, and the time before that, and the time before that. So I guess that's the nature of Medinat Yisrael and of Am Yisrael. But the issues that are on the table are of the utmost significance. And even if you don't have the privilege yet of casting a ballot, you certainly should be involved, you should be concerned, you should be following it, and you should be concerned. And And if we focus on these issues, both on the present reality and in what the ultimate goals are, and perhaps here I'm also tying up some of the other topics that were discussed in some of the other shiurim today, the Geul of Am Yisrael, it seems, is going to have to come from within, from the bottom up. And perhaps these democratic elections are the way in which Am Yisrael expresses what it really wants. And if until now we've elected governments that were fractured and were torn between various viewpoints and often seem to lack direction, that is a reflection of the state of Am Yisrael. And as Am Yisrael does tshuva, and as Am Yisrael gets in touch with what it really is and what it really wants and what it really needs, Am Yisrael will turn to elect and to choose leaders who will lead it in the right direction, and will bring about the days that the Nevi'im spoke about. And we'll find out whether it'll be a Melech HaMashiach or a democratic parliament or some combination together, but undoubtedly the leaders that we would hope to have in those days will be leaders who follow, who meet the description that the Torah described here. L'man yilmad lirat Hashem elokav l'shmor kol devrei Torah azot v'et hachukim ha'ele la'atotam. L'man yarich yamim amam lachto hu uvanav bekerev Yisrael. Ken yihi ratzon.